Jeff, in a recent piece that you wrote about the race, the Senate race involving Mark Grisanti and Mike Amodeo, you're showing Grisanti to have a considerable lead.
Yeah, a Siena poll came out last week that indicated Grisanti had a surprising lead over his two principal opponents, Mike Amodeo on the Democratic line and Chuck Swanick on the conservative line. Swanick had also run for the Democratic nomination but was defeated by Amodeo. I believe the numbers were something, I think he had 47% of voters indicated they would vote for Grisanti, something like 24 maybe for Amodeo, and 17, a surprising showing, 17% for Swanick.
How surprising in that it's so low or so high, do you think?
So high, really. Swanick is not really campaigning. There's some dissatisfaction on the Republican side and among conservative voters with Mark Grisanti because of his vote to legalize same-sex marriage in New York State. But on the other hand, Swanick also seems to be drawing significant voters from the Democratic side away from Mike Amodeo. And that's a real problem for Amodeo. It's a heavily Democratic district, which is why it's surprising that Grisanti, the poll should show Grisanti with such a lead. But Amodeo has this problem, which is no one's ever heard of him. Mark Grisanti has the advantages of incumbency. Chuck Swanick is a longtime elected official, so he's well-known, a big name as well. But Amodeo is new to this and has not established a big name. And he's got double trouble. Because in addition to having low name recognition, he doesn't have any money. He's not able to raise any money from big donors in Albany, from the Democratic Party, from downstate, and is even having trouble raising money from big donors around here, largely because the governor, Andrew Cuomo, has given his sort of tacit endorsement to the sitting senator, Mark Grisanti, the Republican.
Kind of a surprise, seeing as the governor is a Democrat, that he would be supporting the Republican in this this particular race.
You'd think so, but Andrew Cuomo is a practical man, and he first of all he I think is rewarding Mark Grisanti for that same-sex marriage vote. I think he's probably rewarding him for future considerations. He wants to keep Grisanti on his side when big important votes come up in the near future, and including, for example, let's say on hydrofracking. Which is going to be a big deal as soon as elections are over. Right now, I think nobody wants to campaign on the issue.
Nobody wants to
touch
that, yeah.
They don't want to touch it. But as soon as the election day is over, that's going to come right to the front burner in Albany. Cuomo also, I think, prefers that the state Senate continue to be controlled by Republicans. It gives him a foil, someone to blame if things don't go his way in Albany. And it also is a balance to Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver's power. It's best for him if the legislature is split, if one body is in the hand of Republicans and one in the hands of Democrats.
Strange bedfellows, indeed.
Yeah. Well, let's do remember Mark Grisanti used to be a Democrat, so it's not...
That is true.
It's not too long a walk.
That is true. Speaking of funding for these campaigns, in the 27th District race with Kathy Hochul and Chris Collins, a lot of outside influence and outside money coming into that race.
Yeah, it's the opposite of the Amodeo problem, right? He can't raise any money anywhere, and Hochul and Collins can't turn it away. You know, their race is, I think, attracting a lot of money because for a lot of reasons. One, because every congressional race is important, and in terms of achieving balance of power in D.C., but this one is so close. Hochul has surprising strength in a Republican district. She's well-liked. She's a very conservative Democrat, so it's not a reach for Republicans to vote for her. Collins, on the other hand, ought to win this seat just based on the demographics. It's a very Republican district. So Republicans don't want to see him lose. So they're pouring money in, too, to try to boost him, while Democrats are trying to... It's a big win if they can keep Kathy Hochul in that seat, so it's worth the investment.
Chris Collins, in his last two races, was battling a real sort of public image problem. He wasn't well-received publicly. That doesn't seem to have come up a lot in this particular election. Has it changed anything? Is the public impression of him a little different?
I don't think so. I think that Kathy Hochul is really smart not to try to make the race about Collins's, shall we say, prickly public image. because she doesn't have to. He just ran for office last year. Mark Poloncarz has made enough of an issue of his personality that it's fresh in everyone's minds.
That race, neck and neck, any new readings on the poll numbers for that?
No, I think it's going to really come down to, like, as you know, this is what people always say. It's going to come out to getting out the vote. And so that means it's going to be determined as well by how enthusiastic people are about the presidential election. And that's, to jump back to Mike Amodeo, that's what he's got to hope, too. It's a Democratic district that he's running in against Mark Rosani. He's got to hope that a lot of people turn out to vote for President Obama. And further, because the way our voting system has changed, you no longer get to pull the lever for the whole Democratic line, right? You have to deliberately vote for each candidate. So he's got to raise his name recognition enough that voters in his district, when they go there to vote for Obama and for Kathy Hochul, they don't just skip him over because they don't remember who he is.
Now, there have been some rumblings about the Erie Freight House and the developments there, turning that into potential loft apartments and sort of the redevelopment of that Ohio Street corridor.
Yeah, developer Sam Savarino has got an interesting plan for loft apartments in the old Erie Freight House. He's run into a bit of resistance from preservationists who think that he can do more to preserve the structure, the existing structure. It is, in fact, a very sort of exemplary model of this sort of construction, beautiful building inside. Sam Savarino is a fairly preservation-minded developer. Generally, I'm sure they'll come to some sort of accommodation, I hope. What's interesting to me, generally, though, is the amount of investment and speculation there is in that Ohio Street corridor right now. Developer Carl Palladino has been sitting on parcels of property there for years and years. But there are lots of new interests as well. I think we'll see a lot of new projects coming along that corridor. And, you know, largely anything that moves from the downtown core and the inner harbor and takes you to the outer harbor is suddenly of interest to developers and politicians, which suggests to me that there's got to be some big project planned for the outer harbor, something right on the horizon.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing about that when that comes up. Jeff, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
My pleasure as always.